I'd like to call the meeting to order officially, our first Zoom call here at New River Community College, a big historic moment. I'd like to thank Jose and Kathy. I know you both have worked hard behind the scenes to make sure we're following this by the rules and regulations put forth by the VCCS. And I welcome everyone here tonight. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay. Especially those of you, I see a lot of your faces, and I'm sorry, gentlemen that are on the phones, that we can't see your faces. We are with you guys in spirit, though, knowing that you're there on the phone with us. We do have a, let's see here. We had, I've got to figure it out where it is on the screen, just a second. We have two new faces to the meeting tonight. Pat, would you mind introducing Graham and Mr. Nichols to the group?
Sure, I'll be glad to, and thank you for joining us. In the, well, my upper right hand, I don't know where he is in yours, on your screen, but Dr. Graham Mitchell, he's a professor of psychology and religion. Those of you who've been on the board know he always gives our invocation and benediction at our commencement ceremonies. He's our go-to person for a lot of feel-good things around campus. So, Graham, and the reason he's joining us tonight, he's chair of faculty assembly. So, Graham, thank you for joining us. And then following him is our newest employee, Mr. Ronnie Nichols. Ronnie is our director of facility services. He came on board just about the time we were shutting down. So Ronnie's had quite an initiation to New River Community College. But let me say, since Ronnie has joined us, there has been nothing missed. He's on it. His crew's on it. They're the crew who have been on campus throughout. And just appreciate all that Ronnie's done and continues to do. So welcome, Graham and Ronnie. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat, for doing that. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
One little tidbit that Jose did not mention. So for whenever we have a vote, because we don't have everyone on visual, for a visual vote, we'll have to do a roll call vote. And Jose will be helping to facilitate that vote by calling out your name and unmuting you so you can give your, cast your vote. So it's gonna be quite a long meeting just because of that. We've got a few things on the agenda that we'll call for board action. The first of those would be the approval of the agenda. So I'd like to see if we could get someone to make a motion for approval of the agenda as presented. Richard? It looks like, Jose, I've got a first from Richard and a second from Onassis. And if you could facilitate the roll call vote at this point.
Okay, I'll call the roll call. That's okay.
Okay, thanks, Kathy.
Okay. Onassis Briss?
Yay.
Richard?
Yes. Yes.
Peggy?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Benny? Benny Keister?
We may have lost him.
He's still there. I've unmuted all the phone callers.
Okay.
Benny, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Is your vote yes?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Jessica? Yes. Jim?
Yes.
Yes.
Mike? Mike Patton?
Yes.
Okay, good. Bobby?
Yes.
And Jim Willard?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We got past the easiest one. Thank you all. That was a good test of the system. So we'll move on to the next one. Next, I have as Exhibit A, we have our minutes from our December 2nd, 2019 meeting that I'll need a motion for approval.
So moved.
Thank you, Mike. I'll need a second.
Second.
Great, I got a second from Peggy. Okay, Kathy, you're on for a roll call vote.
Onassis?
Yes.
Okay. Richard? Peggy?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Benny?
Yes.
Jessica? Jim Liu?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Bobby?
Yes.
And Jim Wheeler?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now I'd like to call on Mr. Van Hemmer to go over our financials. We will have a few board actions throughout this because we were unable to have the Budget and Finance Committee meeting prior to our meeting tonight. So, John, it's all yours.
Okay. The first one is Exhibit B. Now, this one doesn't require any kind of board action. It's more information. Excuse me, more information. This one actually may be very important to us this year if the enrollment is pretty bad. This is our tuition deficit reserve fund. And if you can see on the third page, you know, we're estimating at the end of this year, we'd have about $2.1 million. If our enrollment, just as an example, if our enrollment's down about 12%, that's a little over $1.2 million that it would be down. That's just in tuition. The state cuts our budget even more, then we'd have even more money. So this is very important this year. So is there any questions about this before I go on? Okay. I'll go on to the Exhibit C. Exhibit C is our local fund statement, statements and receipts and expenditures. I'm not going to go through this page by page. I really wanted you guys to see it and see if you had any questions about it. Gets into where, you know, all the revenue and all the expenditures, plus it has our bank account information in here. So does anybody have any questions about it? All right.
Does anybody have any questions, John?
Okay. I have one question.
Okay. Yeah.
So the basketball season was cut short, correct? So was all the funds spent towards the basketball program that was allocated towards the basketball program?
Dee Dee, can you answer that?
I certainly can. Yes, Onassis, the coaching stipends were paid because we had already prepared those stipends and the coaches were anticipating that. So in response to the fact that we had to stop the season short, we did go ahead and pay the coaches their full amount. However, the additional funds that we did not use to support the program, since those are local student activities funds, those will roll over to next year.
That was my question. Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, the next one does require board action. This is our local funds budget for this coming fiscal year. It's Exhibit D. And on the, what I would consider the second page, I guess, is not the title page, has the what we anticipate for revenues and then where all that money is going to be budgeted. It's exactly the same as last year. The tuition deficit reserve fund, the amount of money going there might be a little less because we're anticipating our enrollment to be down in the fall and possibly in the spring. and on the second, what I guess is the third page, which is our maintenance and operating budgets. This is the budgets that were originally funded from the money we get from the localities. But instead of funding these budgets, we now take that money that comes from the localities and save it up for site development. So if we ever do build an additional building or build onto it a building, which we hope will happen, we have to use those monies to do site development. So we're saving that. And these budgets are now funded from money we take out of the tuition revenue deficit reserve fund. So, and this is really just the operating budgets for the college that require local funds money. So each area in the college has a little bit of money. It's not a lot in each area. So, but that's the same as it was last year also. Any questions about that?
Okay.
John, I only had one question on that. And this, I'm not sure who the best to answer this would be. So with faculty and staff development, I'm guessing quite a few people had to learn how to teach online and go through some of those training seminars. Did that come out of that budget? And do you anticipate having to increase that for next year?
Well, what we're going to use this year is the CARES money that we're getting from the federal government to use for training purposes. We can use that as long as it's to promote online. Actually, it's a change in instruction, and the change is usually to online instruction. So we'll use those funds to do the training. So, and then if we need additional funds, we'll use the local funds money. This will be the last money we use. So,
thank you.
Now, this one does require a vote. So.
Does anybody have any questions for John on this? Okay. I'd like to see if we could get a motion to approve.
Make the motion to approve the budget.
Okay, Onassis Burris has made the motion to approve. Did I hear a second?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And Kathy, I'll turn it over for you for a roll call vote, please.
All right. Onassis?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Peggy?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Benny?
Yes.
Jessica? Jim Lou?
Yes, of course.
Mike?
Yes, ma'am.
Bobby?
Yes.
And Jim Wheeler?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Exhibit D, local funds budget is passed, John.
Okay. It seems like I have a lot. We sort of saved this up. The next one is Exhibit E, which is our student activities budget. Dee, do you want to say anything about this? This is their budget.
Sure, John. It is very similar to the way that the funding has been allocated, very similarly to how we did last year. You can see the money that we have for our recreational activities, cultural and popular programs, and in each of those categories, we are working on expansion. With regard to the recreational activities, one of the things that we're working on, and sadly, when everything happened and our local recreation departments also had to cease their activities, we are in discussion with our local recreation departments to see how we can partner with them to be able to expand our recreational activities for our students to be able to have greater participation. And so we were really making great headway in that. So trust me, once we know what the operating status will be for those facilities moving forward in the fall, we will definitely resume those talks. We've tried to do our best to expand our cultural and popular programs as much as possible, encompassing a whole host of activities for our students to encourage engagement and our sense of belonging, and just helping our students just feel at home at New River. So, you can see the rest of the categories there if you have any questions.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Bobby? Do you have a question? Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a quick question. Because there are category totals, but there's not line item totals, are those fairly similar to last year's budget?
They were, Bobby, and that's a good question. One of the reasons that I did not include specific line item totals is to give us some of the flexibility if we, for example, like under cultural and popular programs for our VCCS Student Leadership Conference, depending upon where that's held within the Commonwealth and depending upon how many students who we may be able to get to participate, that can fluctuate. So we felt we were better suited, instead of having tied to specific line item amounts, to be able to have that flexibility to appropriate the needed funds for these types of activities.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions for Dee Dee or John? Okay, I'll need a motion to approve the student activities budget as Exhibit E.
So moved.
Bobby moves to approval. Do we have a second?
Second.
So we have a second from Peggy. Kathy, it's all yours.
Okay. Onassis.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Peggy.
Yes.
Steve.
Yes.
Benny.
Yes.
Jessica. Jim Liu.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Bobby.
Yes.
And Jim Wheeler.
Yes.
Thank you.
Great. Student activities budget is now approved. John, on to you for the next one.
Okay, the next one is Exhibit F. This is actually a requirement of the Virginia Community College system, is every 2 years we do what we call the parking lot plan. how we're going to spend the money on that we collect for, we actually collect a fee called the facilities maintenance fee from each student. And we've been saving that up over the years because it's time that we repave our parking lots. If you look at some of our parking lots, they're really cracked. And a couple of years ago, we sealed them, but we really need to resurface them. So that's the big project for this year and next year. The front page has this fiscal year, the coming fiscal year, FY21. And then the other side of the paper has FY22. So we're going to do some extensive repaving over the next 2 years. And that's what this plan is for. So, and since it comes from local funds, we need your approval.
Does anybody have any questions for John on the parking lot plan? Okay, it doesn't look like we have any questions. Can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
Mike Patton motions to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
I'm not sure where that one came from, but thank you, Kathy.
It was Richard, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Richard. Too many faces on my screen.
Okay. Onassis.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Peggy.
Yes.
Steve.
Yes.
Benny.
Yes.
Jessica. I think she said yes. Jim Liu?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Bobby?
Yes.
And Jim Wheeler?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Great. Thank you, John. Dr. Huber, you're up next.
All right. Well, I guess the best thing to say right now is that spring semester is history. And what a spring semester it's been. We've tried to keep you updated, and thanks to Kathy, who's always very good about forwarding information We've sent you updates. We try to, as we make decisions, sometimes, I mean, it's one day we're doing one thing, the next day something changes and it's something else. Moving instruction off campus, working at a distance, teleworking, creating new pathways. And what I would like to emphasize tonight, I hope you will leave here or leave the meeting knowing just what a superb job everybody on this campus has done to move us through the semester and to continue to move us forward. And when I say that, I mean superb, everyone. I am not aware of anything that we have asked anyone to do where they said, no, I can't do that. We've stretched people beyond, and all of us ourselves. I would say that one of the toughest parts of what we did this spring semester was convincing employees, faculty, staff, it's okay to work from home. Let me just say, there is just such a strong work ethic on this campus that people thought, well, if I'm not in my offices working, people won't think I'm working. And people have been working and just, it's amazing. But I'm gonna let Dee Dee in a little bit explain some of those outcomes. We did still graduate people. We had about 450 graduates. Tammy Smith, our registrar, is in the process. I don't know, she may be finished now certifying. Each graduate has to be certified. And we will go on and mail out diplomas. We hope to be able to have a commencement ceremony in December. We'll just have to see how the next few months play out. Of course, right now we are in the midst of summer semester, already I think a week and a half in. And it is totally remote, totally online, totally at a distance. We did totally close the mall site in March, and it has not reopened, and it will remain closed through the summer. And the big question on everybody's mind right now is, well, what about fall? And as you saw, we sent an update this morning, that's still up in the air. We are waiting. The governor is to release information about institutions of higher education later this week, early next week. The chancellor will follow up with guidance to the colleges. We're preparing all kinds of scenarios. I think if I were making a guess, the very best case scenario for us right now would be some very limited on campus, but a majority still online. But the chancellor holds two times a week. He holds Zoom meetings with the presidents and the leadership teams from across the state. All of the president's staff, we join in that meeting. As you can imagine, the opinions and the ideas, well, the whole scenarios are so different. What's going on in Northern Virginia is so different from what's going on in the New River Valley and what's going on in Richmond. Unfortunately, Northern Virginia, Tidewater, and Richmond, they're the big drivers as far as numbers of students, and they have a big, well, we all have the same voice, but sometimes their voice gets heard a little more clearly than our voice in some of the more rural areas. But let me just say, people here are working so hard, and I'm so proud of what everybody has done to, it's been a huge effort across the entire campus. I think what staff did, faculty did, they set high expectations for students as we moved off campus and online. But in setting those high expectations, they also built in a lot of high support. And so that's what I'd like to now is to ask Dr. Kennedy, Deborah, or as many of us call her, Dee Dee, to share with you some of the strong support that the college has provided for students and perhaps even some of the resulting outcomes. Now, many of you know Dee Dee, but let me give just a little, a few little things about her. Dee Dee is one of our own. She was a New River graduate. She was also a foundation scholarship. She received a few years ago a foundation scholarship. She has both, of course, her associate from New River. She has a bachelor's and a master's degree from RU and a doctorate from Liberty University. She began teaching here as an adjunct instructor while she was also working as a local accountant or an accountant in a local industry. In 2005, the college hired her as their very first and the only at that time high school career coach. She set a program. She established standards. She built a program, and we're so grateful today that we have high school career coaches in every high school throughout our service region. From there, she moved. She became, I believe, our enrollment management coordinator, director of enrollment management, career pathways, and then in 2015, Dee Dee was named as the Dean of Student Services. Through all of those experiences and with her education, she's developed a lot of excellent leadership skills, which has served the college so well this spring. She's been the face, she's been the voice, and she's been the heart for many of the students this spring. But Dee Dee's also had a very incredible team supporting her. Peter Anderson, Vice President of Instruction and Student Services, to whom Dee Dee reports. Some days I am just exhausted at the end of the day when I have done nothing but read emails of all that these two people are coordinating and organizing and providing. And of course, along with them are our two deans who are on with us tonight, Debbie Bond, Business and Technology. You talk about a huge shift, moving a lot of our career and technical education programs out of the classroom and online. And then Sarah Talbert Hurst with Arts and Sciences, with our Gen Ed, and still with heavy with our nursing programs. The entire leadership team here at this college has been phenomenal. So Dee Dee, if you don't mind, provide us an update on our students now.
All right. Thank you, Pat. I'm humbled by your comments. And when I say it's a labor of love, that's a labor of love for everyone here on the campus. I know I speak for my colleagues as well. So I'm appreciative of this opportunity to share some really good news in light of the circumstances in which we found ourselves this spring semester. Our outreach to students continued really in a smooth and uninterrupted fashion. We had immediate and timely emails that were sent to students throughout the various steps and throughout all of the adjustments to the spring semester in response to COVID-19. Together, along with Sarah and Debbie, our academic deans, we had a coordinated communication effort that went out to our faculty and others to ensure that we had consistent messaging for our students and everyone involved. Our student services advisors, they continued with their proactive outreach to their caseloads, including outreach with email, phone calls, text messaging, and they added Zoom. And that was new for some folks, and that ended up being hugely positive and helpful for our students. As we were making the shift, we realized we needed to somehow ascertain, are our students prepared for those who had to move unexpectedly to remote learning? So in our class, that's our technology platform connecting learning assets to students, there was a survey question that was developed that basically asked the question, do the students, did they have the necessary resources in place to continue with remote or online learning? And so all of our advisors followed up with students who responded no, or those who did not respond at all. And some of the common themes included lack of internet access was a concern for some students, lack of personal computer or specific software, time constraints due to the students having their own children at home learning online. So our student resources staff sought additional loaner laptops with the help of our foundation office. Our IT staff assisted with access to needed software. Our disability services office continued student accommodations. And additionally, as our on-campus food pantries became inaccessible to students, our student resources staff mailed grocery and gas gift cards to our students in need. I'm sure that you've seen the creation of the coronavirus webpage. That was hugely helpful to share information with our students and the campus community. That was updated on a regular basis, and links to all of our past communications are available. We utilized Canvas, which is our online learning management system, to post announcements to students as well. And then knowing that we were going to have students who were trying to find important things on our website, we created a new remote resources webpage that was linked, that was directly on our college's main page, that has been very popular in ease of access for our students. Additionally, on all of our departmental web pages, we updated those with a message indicating that staff are working remotely, but we made sure that the students or visitors or whomever knew how to get in touch with us by email and phone. And we have made sure that we've had staff members who were checking the voicemail and checking the email messages on a regular and ongoing basis. And I can tell you, just from the advising@nr.edu email account, we have had, since we went to working remotely, we've had upwards of nearly 1,000 inquiries that have come through and have been farmed out to advisors and other appropriate staff members. We also, as I mentioned before, but the increased use of Zoom, but that's for advising, enrollment. Our financial aid staff are using Zoom to be able to help students complete their FAFSA applications. So needless to say, it's not been without bumps in the road, but it is heartwarming how all of these pieces have come together and all of the staff and the students who are working together during these times. We also expanded an online chat feature on our main webpage. Since our mall site has been closed, our mall site staff are the ones who often get general, kind of a jack of all trade types of questions. So we have been utilizing their talents and expertise along with that of our information center operator to engage with and respond to the chat inquiries. And that has been very popular, with a significant increase in chats along the way. So I feel very good about the outreach that we have engaged in and what we're going to continue to do. We're learning new ways to outreach to our students at all times. And I want to talk for just a moment about the grading policy and the grade portal that we had to create. When the VCCS initiated its spring 2020 grading policy of awarding the default grades of P+, P- or W, the policy also provided an option where students could request their earned letter grades. So each college was tasked with developing its own plans for receiving and documenting the letter grade request. So at New River, we utilized a secure online portal that was developed by our IT and web development staff. Students logged in with their VCCS username and password, and then they were able to select the courses for which they wanted a letter grade. And if no action was taken on the part of the student, then that resulted in all default grades being awarded. So that portal opened on Monday, April 27th, and it closed on Friday, May 8th. And when it was all said and done, 52% of students requested at least one letter grade for the courses in which they were enrolled. Now, when I saw that 52%, I started getting a little bit of a knot in my stomach thinking, what happened to the other 48%? What are our success rates going to look like? And I could not be more pleased with what we saw in the resiliency of our students. So first of all, I'll tell y'all back up a little bit with just some success information. So our fall to spring retention rate was 65%. So that's pretty typical for New River. We don't have our spring to fall retention rates yet, but let's talk about spring 2020. So knowing that 52% of students had requested at least one letter grade, thinking what are going to be the outcomes? Are we going to have more withdrawals? Are we going to have more poor grades? That wasn't the case. Our withdrawal rate for spring was only 5.8%, which is the lowest it has been in the past 4 years. And then when we look at our grade allocations, 4.4% of grades awarded were either a D or a P minus. Again, that was the lowest that we've seen of a D equivalent grade in 4 years. Our awarding of F or what we would call our W grades, that for students who did not withdraw, but who then in essence earned a failing grade, that was 10%. But that was only slightly higher than what we saw last spring at 8.5%. So that was not hugely out of line by any means. But what really warmed my heart the most was 86% of all grades awarded were either A, B, C, or P+. And to me, I think that is remarkable, and that highlights the resiliency not only of our students, but of the campus community as a whole, the way that our faculty and staff came together to support our students really is second to none. And even with the P+ grades that students earned, most colleges and universities in Virginia have indicated their acceptance of the P+ grades and transfer. So our students, whether they're completing a technical degree or whether they're on the path for transfer, are well positioned to be able to do either or. And then the last thing I'll talk about is our high school enrollment roadshow and our fall registration processes. As most of you know, we look forward to the first part of April, and we have about an 8-week rotation where we're in our local high schools helping our graduating seniors register for classes. So when everything closed, high schools closed as well, we revised our plan very quickly, and so we had a plan developed in early March to be able to provide remote and online registration services. So a student survey was shared through various emails and through our high school career coaches with our graduating seniors. We had 508 seniors from 9 high schools respond to the survey. And to date, 476 of those students already are registered for fall. We have 32 students who have made other post-secondary plans or are entering the military. And this is really in line because we typically serve on average around 525 students through our high school roadshow. And so we know that we are still going to be increasing these numbers through our outreach as well. And this has been such an amazing team effort between Allison Weston, our enrollment management transfer services coordinator, Lori Mitchell, who is our student success coordinator, and their respective staffs. We are going to continue to respond to all general fall registration requests. And as of last Monday, there were approximately 440 students who were enrolled with us in the spring, but who were not set to graduate, who still need to register for fall. So that has become our priority. And we will be working on that list. In addition, our financial aid staff are contacting students who have financial aid awards to make sure they're aware of that information. And then our online testing center staff are following up with all new applicants and as a separate layer of support to make sure that these prospective students, these new applicants, know that we're here for them and we're ready to help. And the BCCS also created a new portal called College Anywhere VA. And it was initially promoted with our graduating high school seniors as a way to connect them and their families to their local community college. And our mall site staff, again, are engaging with and responding to these inquiries, or rather, I should say they will be. To date, we have had no inquiries, and that is not a negative, but that is simply showing that our proactive outreach with our local high schools was already well in plan and engaged prior to the launch of this portal. And then, you know, anecdotally, I believe that some of our students may be delaying their enrollment until they have a better understanding of what the fall semester looks like. I think several folks are just kind of in a holding pattern right now, as I think a lot of folks are, and we understand that. But in summary, I just am thrilled with how our students performed, how our college community, I could think of no other institution with which I would rather be affiliated. So thank you.
Thank you, DB. And that concludes my report, since they did all the work, unless you, and you may very well have many questions. We continue to have many questions day in or day out, but we'll be glad to try to answer questions. Otherwise, Mr. Harvey, it's back to you.
Okay, do we have any questions for Dr. Huber or Dr. Kennedy? All right, thank you both for that report. Sounds like you guys have done the unimaginable as it changes minute by minute, as you know, the rest of the world is trying to do the same. So thank you for doing that for the faculty and staff and the students. Dr. Anderson, Peter, you're up.
Thank you, Steve. Board members, if you look at Exhibit G, I have the pleasure to let you know, well over 2 months ago, the formal review of these lists began. Of course, informal conversations with these committees happen throughout the year. These committees are an integral part of the success of this college, and we're so thankful for the time that each one of these individuals gives up to serve our college. I thank Sarah and Debbie for the heavy lift to make this list, to work through it, to work with faculty to help produce this list and review it. And board members, on behalf of the faculty and staff, I ask that you accept this list and approve it. With any questions you may have, be glad to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for Peter Anderson? If not, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the Industrial Advisory Committee, Exhibit G.
So moved.
Thank you, Peggy. I'll entertain a second.
Second.
Thank you, Richard. I have a second from Richard. And Kathy, you're up for a roll call vote.
Okay. Onassis.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Peggy.
Yes.
Steve.
Yes.
Benny.
Yes.
Jessica.
She okay. gave you a yes.
I didn't catch her. Jim Liu.
Yes, sir.
Mike.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
And Jim Wheeler.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're on a roll.
Yes, doing great. All right. So we have approved the Industrial Advisory Committee. Peter, yes. Anything else you needed to go over there?
Sure, if you don't mind, Steve. The sure. Second item on the was the just a brief update on the New River Bridge to RU program. you know, well, and you board members, you got a packet that had an example of an acceptance letter from Presidents Huber and Hemphill, and then a packet of information of what these students have, a wonderful flyer that gives information to these students of the next steps that they're going to have. And again, just keep in mind, well over 2 years ago, Presidents Huber and Hemphill, you know, they met together and they worked on how could we strengthen relationships, partnerships, and better yet, transfer possibilities for students that go to Radford University. So I'm pleased to announce that as of today, we have 54 confirmed and or deposited students that are in this program. That is amazing. With everything, we thought we might be lucky to get 10 with everything happened with the pandemic. So we are excited, really excited about those 54 students coming.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out.
We know that the onboarding process is going to have to happen. Quest, as of right now, Quest, which is Radford and New River, Radford's formal orientation program, but New River will have a large part in that as well. For these bridge students, right now it's scheduled for July 24th and 25th. It is still face-to-face, but we are making plans to move that to online if that needs to happen. Also, Lori Mitchell and Sharon Jones, Lori here at New River, and Sharon Jones at Radford University, they're working on a co-taught student orientation class. We at New River call it SDV 100. And at Radford, they call it University 100. So we're excited that's going to be a co-taught opportunity for students to have where they're getting the best of both worlds. But again, we thank you for your support of this program. We thank you for your help with this. And we really look forward to serving these students and giving them a new and different opportunity that they would not have had before. So thank you, Steve. Thank you, board members. Thank you for passing the advisory committee list. We're looking forward to working with those advisory committees this year. Steve, that's all I had, unless there's any other questions.
Great. Thank you, Peter. That's exciting news. As chair here of New River Community College and a graduate from Radford University, I like hearing that that relationship is going well. So thank you all for everyone who's made that work. Does anybody have any questions for Peter?
I have a quick question, please, for Dr. Anderson. Of the 54 confirmed students, are they primarily local students, or is it a broad base group from around the Commonwealth, or could do you have that type of information at this point?
Sure, Bobby, that's a great question. There's only two local students. They really wanted to get in this program within our service region. When I say local, within our service region, so the rest are outside of our service region. They did not meet Radford University's minimum academic requirements. They're the next level right under that, Bobby. And there are, I think there's four out-of-state students out of that group as well. So we're excited to serve those students. And we knew going into it, we did a lot of data analysis. We didn't think a lot of local students would want to do this and pay the extra money just to stay in dorms for an additional year. We knew it would probably be students from outside our service region. So.
Thank you.
Great. Was there another question? I wasn't sure if I heard someone else talking.
Peter, can you hear me? This is Jim Liu.
Yep. Go ahead, Jim.
Peter, I still owe you $10.
Okay.
I'll get it to you as soon as I can see you.
Sounds good, Jim.
Okay. That's it for now.
Okay, great.
I'll have more later.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Dr. Schreff, would you like to go over enrollment? Thank you, Peter Anderson.
Okay, unmute. It works a lot better, don't it? I'm going to try and go through this real quick. For the summer session, we're up 10.15% in FTEs, which is really, really good. When we look at our enrollment compared to the system, we're a little bit behind the system at large, but that's all That's entirely because Northern Virginia is up 2,957 FTEs. That's a 36% increase because they're doing some special projects here over the summer that none of the other colleges are doing. Tidewater is actually down a large amount. On the other end, they're down 758 FTEs, which is 19, almost a 20% decline. If you take both that extra high and that extra low out of the analysis, we're almost exactly the same as the rest of the system as a whole right now. So we're doing very well for summer. For fall, we're not doing quite as well. We are currently down 15.8 percentage points, representing 186, just shy of 186 FTE. But in comparison with the rest of the system, we're actually doing quite well. Our 15.8 is compared to a 22.6 percentage point decline for the system. A better number would probably be the 25 percentage point decline for the system, because that includes all categories of students. The
congratulations.
Pardon?
Congratulations.
Yeah. The FTEs are fairly, the changes are all over the map here. We've got some that are in the 40s, some that are in the 20s. We're doing better, like I said, than the vast majority of the other colleges, but it's really, really early in the fall. If you recall, you've seen this before, every year students enroll later and later and later. And I think this year we're going to see it even later than that, as they're waiting for more certainty in the environment. So we've got our fingers crossed. I know Dee Dee's team is busting it all to get more out there. So I feel like we should be in good shape. But in terms of making a projection for the fall, I'd probably not be in good shape to give you a meaningful projection right now. There's just not enough information to make a projection that has any real basis for it. And I'll take any questions y'all might have. Thank you very much.
All right. No questions. Thank you, Fritz. Dr. Rao, Workforce Development from outer space there.
Thanks, Steve. Just a few items to report on. At one point, I think we mentioned it briefly at a board meeting last fall, everyone was excited about the G3 initiative. It stands for Get Skilled, Get a Job, and Give Back. And as we went into the General Assembly session, this was probably the most successful legislative session the system has had in years and years, maybe ever, and was funded at $34.5 million a year for 2 years to start this wonderful new program. And lo and behold, all that was taken back when the pandemic started. So we don't have any new money for this initiative. However, our academic folks have worked so hard, they went ahead and prepared a number of programs to be ready for this. And so we have a lot of new career study certificate programs to launch that will help develop pipelines for students to start at one level and then move to a higher level and either move out and get a job or move on to another higher level. And so we're really optimistic about this anyway. And hopefully when the state regains its financial footing, we can go back and get some extra funding for that. And the CARES Act that you've heard about, our college will receive $1.6 million through the CARES Act. And the way the legislation was set up is that the first half of that has to go entirely to students, directly to students, to help offset some of the costs they incurred when they faced the same problems that everybody else is facing. And so half of that, a little over $800,000, has now been distributed directly to students. Some got as much as $1,100. It was all based on financial profiles. Some got $800 a piece, some got $500. But this was the intent of the national legislation, and our folks worked really hard to figure out how to do this in an equitable and efficient way, and did a great job. The second half of the funding is on a reimbursement basis, where we will be able to have federal funding to help us to offset costs that we incur in shifting over to online instruction and doing other things in response to the pandemic. And There are a variety of things that are somewhere in the physical facilities area, and in terms of broadband access and so forth for students in parking lots. But the thing I wanted to mention tonight is that that was touched on briefly before, is our faculty are going gung-ho through a new program to develop new online courses or online versions of existing courses. And there's a project this summer where they'll be assigned to do these things it's basically an application process. Our faculty apply to do this and will be paid to do that. They also have set up 11 different professional development sessions that faculty can attend and learn more about how to be efficient and effective in online instruction. Even if they're already pros, there's always something more to learn. There are also some who haven't been doing this so much. So I think a group of New River folks got together and developed this in rapid sequence and got it out in time for people to apply and start doing it. And we're really excited about that. Third item briefly is to update you on our marketing efforts. We are continuing to invest in marketing, even though we're trying to save all our pennies everywhere we can. We know it would not be wise to not market. We actually did more this year for summer school than we traditionally do. And we believe that's part of the effort, part of the reason the summer school enrollment's been successful. Right. We're shifting a lot of our emphasis to social media marketing, which is, where it's at, so to speak, nowadays. We've had a couple of Google AdWords campaigns. We also do some traditional marketing. We've sent postcards twice to thousands of people in the New River Valley. And we believe that they're actually looking at them this time because they're stuck at home and looking at their mail. So we're not quite sure about that, but so far we've got some good results. We try to do everything we can. We also work, I think if you look at any of the media you all look at, you'll see we do all the free coverage we can get too. We're always sending news releases, and we have some of our folks have been nice enough to have our PR folks have convinced our deans, for example, to go online and say nice things. And apparently they're very popular out there. And any way we can get the word out about the college, we're continuing to do. One other area, just in the area of workforce development, everyone is an expert on workforce development, I found. And some people are saying that there are going to be huge new opportunities in workforce development as people who have lost jobs try to find new paths. Nobody really knows what that means or what those areas will be, but part of the definition of workforce development in our system is to be flexible. So we'll have to wait and see about that. But our main area of emphasis continues to be the fast forward programs. And we started a couple of new programs that are EKG and phlebotomy that were previously approved will be offered for the first time this fall. We also have the apartment maintenance technician program that was developed in response to local needs that we hope to launch this fall. All this, of course, is pending the ability to do what we can with the restrictions that we're facing right now. We're also proposing two new programs, one for heavy equipment operator and one for certified production technician, and those are in process now. So we're trying to keep the ball rolling, so to speak. Some of these areas that I think I've mentioned to you before, we have some really neat ideas, we think, but sometimes we're challenged to get enough students to sign up for these programs and keep them on a sustained basis. So that's one of the challenges we face in these areas. But we're working very hard at that. Any questions about any of these? No roll call vote?
Not this round.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the insight there.
Thanks.
Angie Covey from the Education Foundation. Nice to see you, Angie.
Thank you. It's nice to see everyone's faces. The first thing, the scholarship update, we will be awarding this fall well over 200 scholarships. So that's going to follow as it has in years past. We've already sent the offers out to students. We did that through the month of March and April. And of course, we got very excited responses from students that they were going to be getting these scholarships for the fall. Our ACE program is continuing to go very well. As you well know, Pulaski County is still on board. So now, all four counties in the city of Radford are providing this tuition support to all of their high school seniors. Our total numbers for this fall, what we expect based on students who have accepted the program, we have 61 students from Floyd, 64 students from Giles, 250 from Montgomery County, 67 from Pulaski, and 38 from Radford. Now realize that all of those numbers except for Pulaski are two classes. That's the class of 2019 and then the high school class of 2020. And of course, Pulaski just starting this year, that number of 67 is just the class of 2020. If you add that up, that's about 480 students that have accepted the ACE program. And if you look at the total tuition cost of 480 students, that could be right around $1.4 million for fall 2020, spring 2021. So we're excited that everything is going smoothly. Community services has been a little bit different to manage this go around. Of course, Giles is always ahead of the game with what Chris McCarney and those folks are doing with the community service component. Floyd is figuring that out very well. Radford also. Montgomery County, a little bit different because it's 250 students, and where do you place 250 students when there just aren't the opportunities with community service right now? So that one's going to be a little bit trickier to manage this go around. And then Pulaski, because this is the first time that they've done the community service, we're still working through some details there. But at the end of the day, it's all going to work out, and the students are going to have the opportunity to come here in the fall. As Dr. Kennedy mentioned when she was talking about grades, you know, in those reports that came in at the end of the semester, we always spend a little bit of time going through and looking at all of our ACE students, because as you know, if they drop below a 2.5, they're out for a semester. Also, if they're not successful in a course, they have to pay the tuition back. And we were a little nervous when we started running those reports and looking at what those grades were, because we don't like to tell students that they have to take a semester out of the program because they dropped below a 2.5 GPA. And we really don't like sending them those emails that they owe money back to the program. We were ecstatic with the numbers. Very few students, very few, dropped below a 2.5. It was the best that we've seen for a semester. And very few students are going to be paying tuition back to the program. So all in all, as Dr. Kennedy and Dr. Huber and Dr. Anderson talked about how great the faculty have been through all of this, that was just another testimony to what a great job they've done and what a great job our students have done. The last thing on my list was student assistance in emergency situations. And Dr. Kennedy also mentioned that. We were able to support several students, probably about 15 altogether, with a couple different opportunities that we had to purchase loaner laptops for these students. And then of course, also the foundation was able to support the college with the food bank and to help Dr. Kennedy's staff to provide those food resources or for the food insecurities that some of our students were facing. So does anyone have any questions?
Doesn't look like we have any questions there, Angie. Thank you for that.
Thank you, absolutely. Report.
Next on our agenda is as Exhibit I is the approval of our meeting schedule. And I'll need a motion to approve that meeting schedule.
Do it.
Moved.
I think Jim beat you there, Richard. So we got a motion from Jim to approve the meeting schedule. And can I take a second?
Second.
I got a second from Onassis. And Kathy, roll call vote, please.
Hey. Onassis?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Peggy?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Benny?
Yes.
Jessica?
Yeah.
Hey.
Lou?
Yes, of course.
Mike?
Yeah.
Bobby?
Yes.
And Jim Wheeler?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, next is the nominations committee. I'd like to hand this over to Jim Lou.
Thank you, Steve. This was a rather difficult thing. Benny and I worked on this one for quite a while. But where we're at now is we recommend Steve be held over as the chairman for the next subsequent year, number one. And number two, since I am, I hate to use the word passing, but since I'm passing, we recommend Jim Wheeler as vice chair, my position going forward from here. And then you guys can pick up the ball from here on out, because this is my last meeting.
Great. Well, Jim, I'm going to ask you to call for, because that requires a board approval. I'm going to ask for you to call for a motion on that.
Okay. May I have a motion on our recommendation?
So moved.
Okay. There's one. Need a second? Hello?
Second.
Hello, Ma. Okay, good. We got it. Thank you.
Okay.
So, Steve, you're in the ball. You're in the.
No.
And you may call a roll. Let me call a roll call real quick.
That's right. You got to do the roll.
Yeah. Onassis?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Peggy?
Yes.
Steve?
Committee. I'll abstain.
Oh, that's right. You should. About that. Benny?
Yes.
Jessica?
Yeah.
Okay. Jim Liu?
Yes.
Of course. Mike?
Yes.
Bobby?
Yes.
And Jim Wheeler, are you okay with being vice chair?
I am.
Okay.
Great. Great. Well, Jim and Benny, thank you for working on that. I know we had quite a few phone call conversations, and we got a great group of board members here, and it was hard to come up with that. And I appreciate the nomination for Jim to be our co-chair, and for you all believing in my leadership to continue on as chair. Thank you all. So back in early spring, I guess mid-spring, we do an evaluation of the president that we hand over to the VCCS. And thanks to quite a bit of help from the staff and from our presidential committee, we had a few phone calls. We did I've attached the letter as Exhibit J, for which we sent to the VCCS. Does anybody have any questions about that evaluation? Okay. That's more just for informational. Jim Liu, you're up for open discussion and questions.
Okay, before I get, I have a couple things to say, just a couple, but my wife, Dr. Jan Buss, would like to make a comment to those of you on the board who are here. So Jan, would you please do it? I'm diverting from plan for the time being.
Yeah. But I have a report on student outcomes for your nursing program. If you'll remember, exactly a year ago, we had a board meeting in our courtyard. And within a week, Jim was in the hospital and went through a near dozen operations at Carilion and ended up with an amputated leg. All the many, many days that we were in Carilion, we saw so many of your nursing students caring for other patients as well as Jim. And I'm in the medical industry. They were superb. They went above and beyond. I kept telling them that he was a really good guinea pig because he had all these issues and they really needed to look at him, and they were enthusiastic. So I can't say enough about how you bring your students along and put them out into the real world to help real people. And today is even more important than it was last year. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Jan.
For my purposes, a little poetic license. This past 4 years or so has been very exciting to me. You know, most of you know I run a little company on the other side of Dublin from where you guys are. But being associated with all of you has been a wonderful experience for me. And I don't have enough good things to say about it, but I want to thank you all. That's all I can say right now.
Great. Well, thank you, Jim. We're glad to see you be able to be up on your feet, so to speak, and be able to join us tonight.
Steve, it's foot, not feet. Only one.
I know.
For the time being.
All right.
Anyway, thank you all very much for a great time.
Anybody else have anything they'd like to bring up from the board? All right. So the next one's going to be a hard one for me to get through. So we've got some recognitions. We've got a few folks who are going to be coming off of our board here. And before I get onto that, though, I would like to congratulate Bobby for being nominated by the Montgomery County Administrator and Board for another 4 years with us. So, Bobby, we're looking forward to having your service continued here on our board. And congratulations.
Thank you.
So we've got, some of the old guard here that helped us make the decision when we were going through the presidential selection process. Benny Keister, Benny, we appreciate you and all of your leadership. We're going to miss you. And we will be mailing you a plaque of a certificate of appreciation from the local board here. At some point in the near future. Benny, did you have anything you'd like to say to the group?
I've enjoyed being on the board. Keep up the good work.
We sure will, Benny. Thank you very much.
Well said.
Yeah.
And Jim, again, thank you for all of your support. We had a fun time going to Richmond there, a few trips.
Oh, yeah.
And quite a few entertaining dinners. And appreciate you and Jan opening up your house for some of our board meetings. And, I've known you before you came on the board, and I've enjoyed that time, and I've enjoyed the time being with you on the board and looking for more times to spend together in the future.
Oh, yeah.
We will be sending you as well a certificate of appreciation.
Thank you.
And I think you've already said your words, but I would like to see if you had anything else to say.
Just thank you all. It's been great. And if there's anything we can do to help you going forward, any of you?
Like wine?
Yeah. Please let us know. And we'd like to share. And Pat, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Mr. Michael Patton, I'd like to thank you for your service to our board. I know you and I have talked quite a bit. I know you've been on a board with my dad, Mike Harvey, and you two have built up a relationship over time, and you as well helped us elect Pat as our new president and walk through that process with us. And for those of you who haven't done that, that was quite a bit of hours that we put into that as a board. It was great because we got to know each other a little bit better because we met all the time, which was the good part and the bad part, I guess. But Mike, we appreciate your you always have something to challenge us on as a board and as a college, and we appreciate your input. And we will be sending you a certificate of appreciation with all of our signatures from the board as well. Mike, did you have anything to say to the board here?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We sure can, Mike.
Well, good, because I've got a lot.
You always get something.
No doubt.
This has gone pretty quickly, I think, and I don't want to prolong it, but I do want to say that, Steve Harvey, you've done a great job, and I'm glad you're going to continue to serve. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
Jim, you're one of the finest men I've had the pleasure to know, and I just thank you so much for how much you've given to New River. And Pat, I'm so grateful that we had the good sense to ignore those two votes that were not for you. I won't mention any names, although they know who they are. I'm one of them, and so is Jim. But we had good reason. But that's the best decision that probably was made during my 8 years on the board. And I wish you only the best for you yourself and for New River. And to all of you, the door is always open here in Floyd. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Mike, I expected a little more out of you. But thank you for those kind words. We appreciate all of your input.
You're welcome.
And as you all know, next but not least, Onassis Perez, congratulations on your city council vote and appointment for Radford City. Couldn't have gone to a better person. I'm looking forward to seeing some new blood on the city council there. And I think you're going to do a great job. We're looking forward to having you there. Unfortunately, we're going to miss having you here on our board because you won't be able to serve on both. But we do appreciate your time here. And we will be sending you as well a certificate of appreciation for your time served here on the board. Did you have anything that you'd like to say to the group tonight?
I just want to thank each everyone for a great almost 2 years working with you guys. And thanks. It's been an honor and a privilege. Some of you guys do know my mom just retired after 35 years of teaching at a community college. So my past is definitely rooted in the community college system. And I just want to thank you guys for allowing me to be a part of this organization, allow me to just learn as much as I can about the local community, from Pulaski's to Floyd's to Radford's to Giles County, which I now drive through 2 days a week. So I know I've learned Narrows a lot. So definitely just very privileged and honored. I serve on the Chamber of Commerce with Dee Dee. Thank you guys for allowing her to come be a part of our board there. And I'm just humbled. I'm just grateful. I'm ready to get things started, and we'll see where things go. But I do thank you for this opportunity. And I think, Pat, you are an amazing leader. I've learned so much from you during this short time being with the college, and I look forward to seeing all the great things that will transpire, that will manifest from this relationship with RU and New River Community College, and all the great things that you will take this college to post-coronavirus. So I thank you guys for the time.
Thank you. Great. Thank you, Onassis. So just a reminder, our next meeting, if all goes well, will be at the New River Mall site on September 14th. So let's hope the world opens up a little bit by then and we won't have to do a Zoom call again. Although I think I'd like to say we were successful in getting through it. A little bit of a rough start on my part there, but I think we got through it. I'd like to thank everyone. For those of you on the phone, I'm sorry we couldn't see your faces this go around, but hopefully here in the near future, and Mike, you know, at some point, I'm sure I'll run into you somewhere. Say hi to Dad when you see him. Give him a hug for me. And Jim Wheeler, congratulations on accepting serving as vice chair. And Pat and all your staff, faculty, you all are doing a great job. I think when times get tough out there in the world, they look for leadership, and you all have done that. You've been there for the students. You're giving opportunities to people when they're not having employment, and allowing people to further themselves and learn more. And we appreciate everything you all have done. I know it's not been easy, but as usual, you guys always step up and do an amazing job, and we thank you for that.
Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir.
I want to add one name to that.
Sure.
You know, everybody that has served on the board knows that this is surely the truth. You know, we couldn't begin to do our job if it wasn't for Kathy. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Everybody's clapping, Mike, on their screens.
I enjoy it. I really do. Thank you.
All right. Well, with that, I would like to call our first and hopefully only Zoom meeting to adjournment, and wish you all safety and happy health in the future. We'll see you all soon, hopefully.